In the literature of the 12th to 14th centuries, the hunt was a common theme. In fact, the hunter's pursuit of his quarry was often used as a metaphor for the pursuit of love. Sir Gawain and the Green Knight is one of the finest English poems of the late 14th century. Its vivid description of a lord's boar hunt is both a realistic depiction, conveying the thrill of the chase, and an ironic counterpoint to attempts by the lord's wife to seduce their guest, Sir Gawain. Poet Simon Armitage tells us more and reads from his translation of the poem.
We have these exquisite and sometimes excruciating courtship scenes in Gawain's bedchamber, where the lady of the house is trying everything within her powers and everything within human decency to tempt him out of the bedsheets or to make her own way into the bedsheets. And Gawain, skillfully and with great diplomacy, manages to defend his honour and perhaps hers as well. But those scenes are intercut and interwoven, and sometimes quite abruptly, with visceral and graphic hunting scenes in which the animals in question aren't only caught, they are grollocked on the ground, by which I mean they are butchered, taken apart, and no detail is spared. We see the flesh, we see the blood, we see the guts and the gory details, and I think these are often in lieu of what our imagination might be telling us could have happened in the bedroom. Roused and risen, he was ready for mass. The meal of the morning was made and served. Then he loitered with the ladies the length of the day, while the lord of the land ranged left and right in pursuit of that pig which stampeded through the uplands, breaking his best hounds with its back-snapping bite when it stood embattled. Then bowmen would strike, goading it to gallop into open ground where the air was alive with the huntsman's arrows. That boar made the best men flinch and bolt, till at last his legs were like lead beneath him, and he hobbled away to hunker in a hole by a stony rise at the side of a stream. With the bank at his back, he scrapes and burrows, frothing and foaming foully at the mouth, wetting his white tusks. The hunters waited, irked by the effort of aiming from afar, but daunted by the danger of daring to venture too near. So many men before had fallen prey, they feared that fierce and frenzied boar whose tusks could slash and tear. Till his lordship hacks up, urging on his horse, spots the swine at standstill encircled by men, then handsomely dismounts and unhands his horse, brandishes a bright sword and goes bounding onwards, wades through the water to where the beast waits. Aware that the man was wafting a weapon, the hog's hair stood on end, and its howling grunt made the fellows their fear for their master's fate. Then the boar burst forward, bounded at the lord, so that beast and hunter both went bundling into white water, and the swine came off worst, because the moment they had clashed, the man found his mark, knifing the boar's neck, nailing his prey, hammering it to the hilt, bursting the hog's heart. Screaming, it was swept downstream, almost slipping beneath. At least 100 hounds latch on with tearing teeth. Then, dragged to drier ground, the dogs complete its death.